The Lonely Heartstring Band have now released their second album, Smoke and Ashes. This one is on Rounder, as was the first. My guest in the second hour is the mandolin player, original founding member of Lonely Heartstring Band, Matty Whitler. We're going to talk about the brand new album, Smoke and Ashes, about the band, how they got together, a little bit about the Berkeley effect, which is something that's always fascinated me. Every member of the Lonely Heartstring Band has connections to Berkeley, so that's kind of a fascinating whirlpool that we sneak out into and come back to the album. Matty Whitler of the Lonely Heartstring Band. Really happy to welcome for the first time to Unreal Bluegrass, Matty Whitler.
Hi, Steve. Good to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Am I saying the last name correctly, Whitler?
Yep, that's
okay.
Me.
I know who you are, and I have to tell the listening audiences, too, that I'm very familiar with the band that we're going to talk about. You, the Lonely Heartstring Band, I have a lot of familiarity with from the years that I've been going and I guess in essence working at Grey Fox and producing interviews and broadcasts and whatnot from there. Lonely Heartstring Band has always kind of been there in some capacity at Grey Fox, and I always attributed to the fact that maybe the band is centrally located in that part of the country, the northeastern part. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of it. Grey Fox has just been a huge and wonderful supporter of us from the very beginning. We started playing there, I think our first year was 2013.
See, that might have been my first year, Matty. That's why I'm thinking I've kind of grown with you guys.
Yeah, totally. And so I think the first year we played as part of a Berkeley showcase.
Yeah.
And then we were a regular Grey Fox showcase artist the next year. And then I think the year after that we started playing the main stage. So.
And I will tell you this, too, I watched you a lot. I saw different members of the band, including you, after hours. There was always a lot of activity about where I stayed at night, not because of me, but because everybody knew where Bill Keith's teepee was. And it was a magnet if somebody could get. So I always got a lot to see a lot. And a lot of the band members came down there. So I saw you all the time. A couple things I will tell you. Number one, my observation. The band is loaded with virtuosity. All the members are so good at what they're doing. Your mandolin playing, Matty, for the listener, Matty's the mandolin player. You're so good at what you do, and I'll come back to this in a minute. But I think you all keep within the sound of the band concept, and the unit that you present on stage, and which I think is remarkable. The other thing I'll tell you too quickly is I was absolutely blown away by the fanatical fans that are there in Grey Fox for the Lonely Heartstring Band. I mean, that was one of the first things I saw is you guys may have played the main stage. It might have been one of those days when it was 100 degrees outside. But the fan base is so strong for you, which just indicates that you connect well with the audience, which is, you know, that's a big part of what you're trying to do.
Definitely, yeah. We think a lot about our stage show in a certain way, and yeah, I think people really respond to it. I always encourage people to come and see a whole set rather than maybe listen to one song or something.
Yeah. So I think then, Matty, what was the impetus for me wanting to speak to you was the new album on Rounder, Smoke and Ashes. I've had it for a while. Is it released on the street yet?
It is, yeah. It came out on February 1st.
Okay, all right. I get confused sometimes as a street. Not that they're released on a street, but available to buy. So I have it. I had Deep Water, or was it Waters, the very first album that you did. I've had that since forever and listened to it. And I just admire the band. This new album, Smoke and Ashes, am I correct in saying that these are all songs or tunes that originate from the band? In other words, the band, you can do a short history on the band as the name, the cover aspect of things that you did so well that made them your own, but is this, talk about that just a little bit, the name of the band and the origin of the band, and we'll get to,
sure.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah. Just for a second.
Yeah, well, so we all started at Berklee College of Music. I started at the school in 2010. And I think in that first year I met Gabe, I would have met Patrick, the fiddle player. And then I think George came in 2011, And I actually met George in a Django Reinhardt ensemble.
Were you playing in the ensemble?
I was, yeah.
What were you playing?
I was playing the mandolin.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, I could, you know, it doesn't mean you can't play other things well, but I'm a huge fan of Django, and I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
No, I've worked out some of that stuff on guitar, but mostly mandolin, and I was there as a mandolin principal.
Okay, all right, okay.
Which was the appeal of Berklee. You know, at the time I was applying to colleges, there were really only three schools in the country that you could apply to as a mandolin principal. A lot of other schools would have put me in ethnomusicology. So they were basically Berklee, Belmont, and East Tennessee State.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And I just ended up going to Berklee. I was most excited about that. I was excited about a lot of the music I'd seen coming out of there. Bands like Joy Kills Sorrow.
Yeah.
And Ari and Mia Friedman, I was very excited about, I remember. And all kinds of groups, so many great people.
So, yeah, so, and I want to speak to you a minute, in just a second, about what I've always called the Berklee effect. I think I made up the concept, but as to the formation or this casual, we were getting to this casual get-together of this band, which is now known as Lonely Heartstring Band. You were talking about people that you met coming to Berklee that eventually became part of this band, which, by the way, I think the band is, since you formed, there's not been a personnel change.
There was, we did start with a different bass player for a little less than a year, and then Charles joined the band.
Okay. People would come to see you not just for you as the band, but they also knew that you did covers of, am I right on this, the Beatles, that you did some Beatles?
Yeah. I mean, that's how we got started. We got asked to play a wedding.
That's right.
Background music. Yeah, and the groom wanted Beatles music on a bluegrass band, and so we got together, and we were, you know, all these really gung-ho music students who studied bluegrass and also were very aware of all the kind of modern things bands were doing. You know, this is a post-Punch Brothers world.
I like that. Okay. And other people are aware of the post-Punch Brothers world also.
Yeah. Well, to me, they were the first ones that I'd seen that do the cover on a bluegrass band and try to completely recreate the arrangement on the record.
Right.
And, like, transfer all the sounds to the bluegrass instruments. And so that was the approach we took with the Beatles music, which was a really great thing for us. It was an amazing learning experience as a band to kind of figure out all of these arrangement techniques and just kind of methods of doing things and practicing that, you know, we incorporated into our own music later.
Well, and then you go from there, and then, well, matter of fact, the very first album, and we talked a little bit offline, that I had it, and then I got it again because I think it was the first album as a band was is one that you guys kind of put out yourself. The band kind of put out themselves, and then was picked up and re-released by Rounder, and it had, I just know off the top that there were cover. You did Graceland.
I think there were three covers on it. There was Graceland, a Bob Dylan tune, Ramblin' Gamblin' Willie.
Yeah.
And If I Had a Hammer.
That's right. And I should have written those down. But I knew that happened. So let's bring it to the new Smoke and Ashes, which is on the Rounder. And that was the reason that I wanted to talk to you. Fill in some gaps on those other things, which we've done. But this album, I think, is Lonely Heartstring Band. This is the band. I mentioned off the air before we got started that the credits for the songwriting on this, and I think it's a direct, it's very intentional, the credits only say all songs written and arranged by Lonely Heartstring Band, and I think that reflects on what this album is attempting to do. Can you help me explain that?
Yeah, well, I would say that reflects on kind of what the band is attempting to do. And, you know, if you talk about us having a certain sound, it's not so much because we're, like, trying to have a certain sound. It's more because we're accepting of our strengths and weaknesses and try to play to those and also play music that we like and is influenced by music that we like. So it's very much a democratic, collective kind of process in writing these songs. And it can be a slow process because we really have to try everyone's ideas and give everything a shot. But I think the end result, you know, I like it.
I think people will like it when they hear it. And I think that it says this is Lonely Heartstring Band. I think you have such a distinctive sound as a band. And I do tell you and the listener, I've seen a lot of the band. I've seen a lot of the individuals just kind of hanging around at festival at Grey Fox. But I think on the stage and what you're doing is this is a unit. And you work together and you recognize each other's. You put it so well. I'm just repeating what you said, your strengths. You recognize what your strengths are. And I do think this album really is saying, all right, you've known us in the past. We've done covers in the past. This is all of that knowledge. This album is informed by all of our skill and all of our training and the arranging that we did doing the Beatles things and this is the Lonely Heartstring Band.
Yeah, I would say that's true. This album really, the first album, you know, there's a lot of neat tracks on it, but to me it feels a little like a kind of mixed bag of styles in some ways, and we're just like trying a lot of different things. And this album, I feel like has a way more cohesive vision for the whole thing.
It does. And Maddie, if you just tuned in, I'm talking to Maddie Whitler of a Lonely Heartstring Band about the new album, about the band and also about the new album, Smoke and Ashes on Rounder. And these are very, not that they're all personal and that it's me and you, but these are all very personal songs. That's the best way I can describe them out of the box and break them down, but I think they're all very personal. I'll even go so far as to say the word intimate in some sort of relationship basis, whether it's with the Smoke and Ashes or something, but they're all about people. Only one song, Borderline, actually puts an actual name to someone in the song about Jenny. But all these tunes are help me explain that I need your help because you're on the inside.
Yeah, well, I think that's totally right. I mean, I think we make a very conscious effort to make music that it is relevant to us and to write lyrics that mean something to us personally, because, you know, I think that's what's going to connect with an audience the most. And so, you know, we're not going to write about things we don't know. We're all, you know, grew up in the late 90s and early 2000s in and around large cities, and we have all studied bluegrass a whole lot, but we've all listened to a whole lot of other music. We're all kind of in relationships or not in relationships. And it's just a time in our life, I think, that all of that stuff you're talking about is on our minds and relevant.
And by the way, as I mentioned, the fact that I think that the band members are and I do believe this, virtuosos, I think, on your instrumentation, the vocals for the band, and this, I think, helps define the sound also, the vocals are so distinctive and instantly recognizable as Lonely Heartstring Band. Am I right on that?
I think so. I mean, I have so much respect for all three singers in the band. George is an incredible lead singer and just a real powerhouse. And originally when we started the band, it was just George and Patrick singing. And Patrick, you know, has always been a good singer, but I think he really, over the course of playing with the band, learned to blend with George as the kind of tenor sound for the band. And then once we had Charles in the mix, Charles and George are identical twins. And so Charles just was able to get in there and blend so well.
And boy, do they ever blend. It's an instantly recognizable. There is on one of the tunes, Only Fallen Down, there's a vocal opening that then repeats later in, and you just get to hear those voices alone. And it's instantly recognizable, and the blend is just flawless.
Yeah, well, we just try to, whatever we're doing, we try to examine every detail and do it the best we can. So
there are 11 songs, as I count them, on Smoke and Ashes.
Mm-hmm.
I think here's the other thing, and I don't mean to say that any member of the band is holding back, but you play so well you almost play so well as a unit. Unless someone really listens and say, this is Maddie playing this, it's sometimes it takes a little bit of thought to break it down and say, well, this is really incredibly well done and complicated. But I would say if anybody wants to immediately hear the skill of the instrumentation, I would send them to the fifth cut on the album, The Other Side.
Yeah, that's kind of the burner.
And it's not only a burner, Maddie, it's the, we'll talk about your playing, and everybody plays well, but your playing on that one is just, it's on par with anything I've ever heard, as you know, in a comparable band setting. I mean, your playing is I'm wearing this term out, virtuosic, but I mean, it's...
Oh, well, thank you.
That's what it is, and you think if someone wants to hear Maddie Whitler playing on this album, and you want to be able to say, okay, yes, that's a remarkable mandolin moment, the other side, I would immediately say, turn this on. I also think the playing on Borderland, all of it's good, but Borderland is equally great for a different reason, for the subtle character of what you're playing in the Borderland song.
Yeah, I really like that part. You know, I enjoy all of the songs that we play, and, you know, I think you're right. I really do tend to be a member of the band who, when I sense that there needs to be some space, I'm happy to be the one to create that space.
Exactly.
And kind of lay out a bit. And, you know, the mandolin, I just love the mandolin so much. And one of the reasons why is with the percussive thing, you can really do this very kind of precise, sparse thing and really have a big influence on the groove of the band and the general sound and how the song moves forward and things like that.
It's the taste of what you bring, and everyone, but I'm speaking to you, so I'm going to talk to you, Maddie, about it's the taste you bring to the support, and if you need to fill a space, you do it. If like you're saying, the support is so strong in what you're doing on the mandolin and the percussive sound that you mentioned, and also the solos that you take, but you're able to support the band or the song sound. And the Lonely Heartstring Band is not a band that takes the stage or goes to a studio and says, look at all the stuff we can do. You guys are pretty secure about, as a band, what you can accomplish, and you don't need to always, I don't want to use the word show off, but it's all there. If you want to use it, it's all there.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're just trying to make it good music, and that doesn't mean always playing to the limits of our technical ability.
Yes, you say it much better.
You know, but at the same time, I find it just as hard to play a simple part and just, like, play it perfectly and do it as well as you possibly can. That's as rewarding to me. Or it's exactly the same to me as playing a very complicated part and doing the same thing.
Yeah, so. You're right. Because you're on the inside of it and I'm on the outside, that's the best explanation. And so you're helping me a great deal. The title cut, Smoke and Ashes, by the way, is probably the least, when I mention that the tunes are of a personal nature, I mean on a human level. Smoke and Ashes, it could be anything. It almost makes me think of the horrific forest fires, and here you have fence posts and you have latches that are left, but come on back, because part of the song that repeats is, mm-hmm. you know, come back because there's still life here. Now that could be translated to anything. Any part of life can be, you know, something has been destroyed or burned down, but come back. But it's, in my mind, when I hear it, I think of the horrible fires in California or anywhere, but and you do see pictures of fence posts and a bit of a door that's left over
sure. I mean, the song is definitely, I think, probably the most abstract on the album, and so it is up to a lot of interpretation, but certainly the kind of genesis of the imagery is thinking about kind of taking care of the planet and worrying about kind of climate change and global moves of that nature. And we're all very aware of that growing up in this time, and also very aware of it as people who fly constantly, who drive a van constantly,
eat out
constantly. And so we're just like hyper aware of our footprint on the planet and trying to think about that. So
I wanted to have you do just a, talk a little bit about made up term, the Berkeley effect. I think it's very real, and you're part of it, and you see what's happening as you and your bandmates come and go from Berkeley. But can you help me express better what I always call this the Berkeley effect? What's going on? Talk about that just a minute, if you could.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to what you could be talking about. I mean, first of all, it takes a certain person to decide to, you know, be playing a bluegrass instrument or any instrument, really, and then take it to the level of kind of studying it and trying to make it your life and that whole thing. So, you know, one of the amazing things when you first go to Berkeley is that you're in a gigantic school of people who are just like you in that way of really trying stuff and pursuing stuff. And when I was there was, you know, it was kind of in the midst of this really great, incredible boom in the American Roots program at Berkeley. And so many, you know, of the people who were there when I were there have gone on to really do incredibly well in the scene. And, you know, and I think that was as much a part of it as anything. We had some incredible teachers. You know, I studied with Matt Glaser and Daryl Enger and John McGann, Julian Lodge, and we would have guest teachers. I had guest lessons with Bela Fleck and Tim O'Brien and Andy Statman and Mike Compton.
Jeez.
And so it was, you know, an incredible time for sure. And, you know, I went into it with a certain amount of technical ability already.
Well, I think you have to or you're not going to get there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I practiced a lot while I was there. But I think the big things I learned came from playing with other high-level musicians who are really thinking about music, came from interacting with those teachers I was talking about and getting kind of the knowledge of, like, musicality beyond just technicality and what really makes good music. And thinking about that, and it's a much more abstract thing, perhaps. But
well, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Maddie. But you had this interest in Django Reinhardt music, what's called Gypsy Jazz. You've heard, so you must have had other influences. Then you would go to Berkeley, and yes, you're in a program, and you have all these phenomenal teachers and guest instructors also. So then you pick up all these other influences and music theory, and then you go back out and you become part of a Lonely Heartstring band. So there must be more information you're bringing back out, and it has to shape what you're doing. And I think what we're getting around to saying is that it has, in fact, created this sound, which is so uniquely recognizable as the Lonely Heartstring band. And I just think there's so many possibilities. You guys are the band is filling these things out so well, and I'm glad to say, and the listener again has to realize, I've seen the band progress, and this new album, Smoke and Ashes, is all right. Here, we're not finished by a long stretch, but if you were wondering where we're headed, here's our first footprint as, you know, all songs written and arranged by Lonely. This is our sound. This is the band concept.
For sure, yeah. And, you know, I think we might not have been recording yet, but you mentioned that the idea of Lennon and McCartney writing all the songs and all the songs coming from within the Beatles and stuff. And so, you know, as we talked about the band starting with the Beatles cover thing, we, at that time, we were also just obsessed with the Beatles, and we were watching the documentaries about them, and we listened to, on audiobook, I think it's Bob Spitz.
I don't know. I'll have to look it up now because you mentioned
it. A giant kind of biography of the Beatles, and you know, many hours in the van listening to that. And so I think a lot of our attitudes towards what it means to be a band were shaped by them, and that's you know, they're obviously just such a high and mighty example. But
you're right. You say that. Yeah, you say that, and they're still going to be. They're going to be for a long, long time, and so that's a good place to pick up that vibe from. And I understand what you're saying. Maddie, thank you. We've talked about some, as I mentioned before we got started, I don't need to talk about every song and every lyric, but I just wanted to have the opportunity to speak with you about Smoke and Ashes and what I think the band is doing, and you've explained it so well, and I appreciate that. I know there has got to be a website. I know there is.
LonelyHeartstringBand.com is the place for all the information. So.
And they can find out where you're going to be. They can find out how to get their hands on this Smoke and Ashes.
That's right, yeah. Our tour dates are there. I believe there's a link to buy it now. And you can also find it all the places music exists these days on all the streaming platforms.
Well, so. it's Maddie Whitler, Lonely Heartstring Band. It's absolutely gorgeous. That's the only word, if I had to use one word, it's absolutely gorgeous recording. And I'm so proud of what the band is accomplishing and will continue. I just think you're kind of just getting started.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. That would be.
I think you have so much more to do, and this is such a great. Not that this is a beginning effort. I don't mean to say that, but I think this is a strong statement as what the band is and what's going to happen and all the wonderful things that are going to come from Lonely Heartstring Band. I'm really happy about it.
Well, thank you very much.
I hope you're happy too.
I'm very happy. I'm very proud of the music we make and proud of the band, and it's a lot of fun to make this music with those guys. So.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Listen, I'll let you go, Maddie, and I appreciate your time, and we'll make sure that the listening audience hears more and more of Smoke and Ashes as the time goes on.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve.
Okay, bye.